Since this is the first time I see you, let me say a cheer, let me say Happy New Year. May God's peace and grace be with you. My family, send them their greetings to you. And I have prepared some greeting cards for you with their pictures on it. They've all grown, and I prepared cards for you and with the update on how things are going, and they're all back there on their way out. Please grab one and please pray for us. Okay? Today, I believe there's earpiece translation. If you need one, let the ushers know. The ushers will give one to you. Translation. I entitled today's message, Experiencing God. Experiencing God. May this be our hope and desire for this year. While we don't know. While we don't know what's going to happen this year, what this year may bring, may all of us experience God in a very deep and profound way. I hope that's our prayer for this year. So today, we're going to look at a story in the Bible where God revealed himself in a powerful way. Take it from Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 to 17. I'd like to invite us to all read the Word of God together. Let's all stand. Let's read the Word of God together. Let's try to read it in Chinese. Okay, together? Here we go. Jacob, let's read about his birth. Chapter 27, verse 24. When the time came to give birth, Rebecca, the mother, discovered that she did indeed have twins. The first one was very red at birth and covered with thick hair like a fur coat. So they named him Esau. Verse 26. Then the other twin was born with his hand grasping Esau's heel. So they named him Jacob. So right here in this story, the name Jacob literally means heel grabber. Can you believe that? That's what Jacob, the word, means. Heel grabber. I apologize if there's any Jacob here, right? Don't take it personal. But Jacob means heel grabber. Heel grabber. Always grabbing. Now picture yourself in a race. You run that race. You're leading the race. You're about to cross the line and win the race. But somebody reaches out their hand, grabs your heel, trips you up, making you stumble. Heel grabber, somebody who does not have good intentions for you. A heel grabber is someone who wants what you have and will get it from you. A heel grabber is somebody that you don't like. We all have heel grabbers in our life, and you cannot help but feel sorry for Esau, the older brother. I mean, you can imagine their upbringing, their childhood. Jacob was always grabbing the older brother Esau, you know, right? Esau probably like, "Aya, come here," right? "Get away from me." So annoying. That's Jacob, heel grabber. Very unattractive personality. Nobody likes him. And indeed, we can see that in the Bible. Jacob was not an attractive person. Jacob was not a very spiritual person. Up to this point, you don't see Jacob talking to God. Up to this point, you don't see Jacob praying to God. You don't see Jacob obeying God. Nothing. Nothing. Except one time, he did mention the name of God. Well, let's look at what happened here. Verse 19. Jacob said to his father, Isaac. Jacob said, "I am Esau, your firstborn." He's lying. He's lying here. "I have done as you have told me. Please sit up and eat some of my game so that you may give me your blessing." Verse 20. Isaac asked his son, "Wait a minute. How did you get it so quickly, my son?" Jacob replied, "The Lord your God gave me success." The only time Jacob mentioned the name of God was when he was lying. When he was lying to his father in order to steal his brother's blessing. Jacob is not very impressive. Jacob, he was not a man of God. Jacob was not a good example for us. However, in spite of Jacob's flaws and shortcomings, we see today God opening the doors of heaven, revealing himself to Jacob, establishing a covenant with Jacob. Now, here's the question. Had Jacob been obedient and faithful to God? Tell me, has he been obedient and faithful to God? No. Was Jacob looking for God, pursuing after God? No. Did Jacob deserve God's goodness? No, not at all. But see, that's exactly the point, right? Exactly the point. God was gracious. Gracious to Jacob, even he totally did not deserve it. You know, my brothers and sisters, that statement applies to all of us. God is good to us, even when we do not deserve it. Look at this verse in the Bible, Romans 3:10-12. There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. See, this passage tells us no one, none of us are righteous. We're all separated from God by our sin. But look at this next verse, Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. See, that's us. Undeserving, unworthy, but God lavishes His grace upon us, just like He lavished His grace upon Jacob. So let's keep looking at today's story, verse 12. Jacob had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth, with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord. You see, the Holy God, Almighty God, revealing Himself to Jacob, who was totally undeserving. Now, the way this story was pictured, the words that were used, the language that was used here to describe this stairway happened before this passage. The biblical writer wanted to remind us of another story, another tall structure in Genesis chapter 11. See, this story, this tall tower also reached to heaven. Let's look at what happened. Genesis 11, chapter verse 4. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens." Right? We see the same language here. What tower is this? What's the name of this tall tower? It's the Tower of Babel. The Tower of Babel. The Tower of Babel was a very tall structure with a stairway that led to heaven. And it's at the very top, people could get up there and make sacrifices to God. Now, the biblical writer was making a comparison between the two stairways. The Tower of Babel versus Jacob's ladder. So the first stairway, the Tower of Babel, was initiated by man. It was man's idea. The second stairway, Jacob's ladder, was God's idea. You see the difference? The first stairway represents men's effort, men's attempt to get to God, while the second stairway represents God's love and grace upon man. The first stairway, did they succeed? No, they did not. In fact, they were judged by God. They were punished by God. While the second stairway, God revealed Himself and blessed man. Now think about it. Isn't that the message of the gospel? The good news that we believe? God on high, who is holy, almighty, but He revealed Himself. He opened up the doors of heaven. He revealed Himself, reaches down to us where we're at. Now, I want to show you more about today's story. There's something very important that the Bible says about Jacob's ladder, the second stairway. John chapter 1, verse 51. This is Jesus' conversation with Nathanael. Verse 51. Jesus said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see the heavens open and the angels of God ascend ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Do you see it's the same, it's talking about the same story? Heaven opened up the stairway of angels of the Lord ascending, descending, but notice what it says. On the Son of Man. On the stairway, right? On the stairway that reaches to heaven. On the stairway, which is the Son of Man. The stairway that led to heaven is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is that stairway that connects God and man. God is making it very clear. The connection between heaven and earth is through one person, Jesus Christ. Look at John 14:6. Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. For no one comes to the Father except through me." One day, when we see God, and all of us will see God one day, and He's going to ask us, "Why should I let you into my heaven?" I hope your answer is not, "Because I went to church." I hope your answer is not, "Because I gave money to the poor." I hope your answer is not, "Because I tried my best to be good, to be a good person." I hope your answer is, "I don't deserve it, but because I believe in Jesus Christ. He is the Messiah. He died on the cross for my sins. Save me, redeem me from my sins." See, praise God, right? Thank you to God. He is gracious to us, even when we do not deserve it. Amen? That's the gospel. That's the good news that we all believe. Through Jesus Christ and His work on the cross, we can have eternal life. The second thing today's story is teaching us is this. God is working. God is carrying out His plan, even when we do not comprehend it. Let's look at what God said to Jacob, verse 13. God said, "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying." Verse 14. "Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All people of earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised." Brothers and sisters, what we just read here, this passage, is a very important passage in the Bible because it describes God's plan to reach and to bless all people, all nations. Now, I want to show you the connection today between Jacob and what God just said to Jacob here. All right, let's go to the next slide. So, God wants to bless all people on earth. Now, Jacob has no idea, but we know it's through his son, Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, God will bless all people on earth. And the Bible tells us that Jesus, he is from the tribe of Judah. He is from the tribe of Judah. Now, Judah, what do we know about the tribe of Judah? The tribe of Judah is one of the 12 tribes of Israel. 12 tribes of Israel. And guess what? Israel is the new name that God gave to Jacob. Now, do you see the connection now? Do you see what God is doing through Jacob? Now, Jacob has no idea what God's doing, right? He has no idea. But this is what God is doing. And no wonder God says, Jacob, I will protect you. I will watch over you. I will never leave you until I have done what I have promised through you. In a way, God is telling Jacob, Jacob, I've got big plans for you. Jacob, I've got God-sized plans for you. And I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now think about it. Jacob, at this very moment, he was at a very low point of his life. Right? He had no place to go. He was running for his life. His brother Esau, this is after he just stole his brother Esau's blessing. His brother Esau vowed to kill Jacob. So Jacob was running for his life. He was a fugitive. He was on survival mode. You know what was on his mind as he went to sleep that night? Oh, God or whoever is up there, help me not to be attacked or ripped apart by some wild animal as I go to sleep tonight. And if I was to make it through the night, it will be very nice. If the first thing in the morning I see is not my brother, right? Who's trying to kill him? See, what was Jacob's plan? He's simply trying to survive, right? Trying to make it through another day. Very small plan. Tiny plan. But God came to him and said, Jacob, I have big plans for you. I got God-sized plans for you. And today, could it be that God has brought all of us here today, here, to remind all of us? Could it be that your plan is too small? The things that you're focused on is too small. Many of us, if we're honest, we're under so much pressure. Pressure from work, pressure from family, pressure from the world, pressure from school, pressure from life, all these pressures, and we're on survival mode. A lot of us, we just want to make it through another week, right? When we go to Friday, we're like, thank God it's Friday, right? We're trying to make it through another week. Some of us, we're just trying to make it through another day. But God wants to remind us, oh, He's got good plans. He's got big plans. God-like plans. And He will watch over us. And He will protect us. And He will never leave us nor forsake us. So instead of living in fear, instead of being worried and anxious, we can rest and relax in God's plan. Now, I believe that if we truly understand that we're a part of God's plan, and that nothing will happen to us until that plan is accomplished, it will change the way we live our lives. And that's exactly what Jacob would tell us if he was here today. He would say to us, don't live like me. He would say to us, don't be a heel grabber. He would say to us, don't live like a thief. Now think about it. God had decided long ago to bless Jacob, right? Jacob was so blessed, and yet he lived like a thief. right? I said, he did not have anything. Isn't it so ironic that here's Jacob, so blessed by God, and yet he had to steal his brother's blessing when he was so blessed by God? It is said that for Jacob to steal his brother's blessing would be like us, you and I, breaking into the bank, pointing a gun at the bank teller, demanding our money in our own account, in our own checking account, right? That doesn't make sense. The money is ours to begin with. So if Jacob was here, he would say to us, God knows what he is doing. God has a plan, and you are a part of that plan. So instead of taking matters into our own hands and trying to manipulate everything and make things happen and live our life grabbing every day, we can be still and know that God is in control. Praise God, he is working. He is carrying out his plan, even when we do not comprehend it. Lastly, God wants us to know that he is present. He is present even when we're not aware of it. Verse 16, when Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Can you imagine the shocking amazement when Jacob came to the realization that he was in the presence of the Almighty God? And as a result, he said, how awesome is this place? Right here, this place, this is the house of God. This is heaven on earth. Wait, but you remember the passage we just read earlier, verse 11. It starts out by saying that Jacob was on his way to Haran, and when he came to a certain place. Verse 11, right? When Jacob came to a certain place, a place that has no name, a place that is not a strict place. But this no name place turns into the house of God. Why? Because God was there. God's presence was so marvelous that it can turn the most boring, most desolate, most unpleasant circumstance into the most awesome, holy, and God-glorifying circumstance. Because he is there. Because he is present. So remember that. Remember that, brothers and sisters. Tomorrow, when you go back to work, remember that, students. Tomorrow, next week, this week, when you go back to school. Remember that next time you change a diaper, wash those dishes. Remember that next time when you go home and you feel so alone. Remember that next time you get hit with a serious illness and you have to go to the hospital. You're not alone. God wants you to know that he is there with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So no matter what you're going through, you too can say, like what Jacob said, in that wilderness, surely the presence of God is in this place. And I shall not be afraid. Amen? Let's look at verses 18-19. Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel. And the word Bethel means the house of God. The stone that he slept on, the very thing that encapsulates his pain, his fear, his loneliness, his tears, became an altar to remember God's goodness. The stone, the lifeless stone, the boring stone, the meaningless stone, now became a testament of God's power and faithfulness. My friends, in the same way, the pain that you're going through right now, the trial that you're experiencing right now, remember, it can be turned into a testament of God's goodness and blessing and mercy. Because God can sanctify whatever you're struggling with and turn it into something that will glorify His name. That stone can be a testament of God's grace. Yes, we don't see it. We don't understand what God's doing. But someday we will. Someday we will. I want to tell you this story about this song called In the Garden. This is a familiar song for many people. It's a song that is about God's intimate presence. It's a song written by Oscar Miles about experiencing God's presence. And in this song, he writes about the beautiful garden. He writes about the beautiful roses. He writes about the birds singing. However, afterwards, after he has passed on, the family member of Austin Miles confessed that this song was written while Austin Miles was going through a very difficult time. In fact, this song was written in a very cold, dreary, and leafy basement. A desolate basement. In fact, that basement did not even have windows, let alone a garden, a view of the garden. But see, could it be that for the songwriter, the challenging circumstance that he was in somehow turned into a garden because he was aware of God's presence? Could it be that because he felt the intimacy of God, the Almighty God, and because of that, where he was at, was transformed into an awesome place, a place of worship, because he acknowledged God's presence there. My brothers and sisters, as we face this new year, year 2024, there will be uncertainties. We will face trials and challenges, and life will be difficult. But I sincerely hope that you will be reminded of the very presence of God, and let Him transform your circumstance, whatever it is, from a difficult place into Bethel, the house of God. Amen? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that at the start of the new year, that you gather us into your loving presence and speak your word of life to us, reminding us of your grace, reminding us of the great things, the plans that you're doing, and reminding us of the ever-present in our life. Lord, help us to face this new year with joy and thanksgiving, with hope and anticipation, even in the midst of challenges right now, and help us to continue to put our trust in you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.